Welcome to Value-Based Care Insights, brought to you by Lumina Health Partners, a national healthcare consulting and leadership development firm focused on improving the strategic, financial, and operational performance of provider organizations and its leaders. On this program, we explore trends and share valuable insights on how health systems and medical groups can navigate this increasingly complex healthcare environment and shift then to transform the delivery of care. Value-Based Care Insights is hosted by Daniel Marino, Managing Partner of Lumina Health Partners. With over 3 decades of experience, Daniel specializes in helping organizations shape their strategic initiatives in areas of population health, clinical integration, physician alignment, information technology, and board retreats. For additional insights, visit our website, luminahp.com, and sign up for our newsletter. Dan, over to you.
Welcome to Value-Based Care Insights. I am your host, Daniel Marino. Recently, as we think about the healthcare space and read a lot of the current events occurring over maybe the last 6 to 12 months, a lot of investments, a lot of deals being made by non-traditional healthcare providers, frankly. It's been interesting to watch the role of, say, Walgreens as they've invested in large medical group in the Northeast. Recently, CVS just inked a deal with VillageMD. And of course, Amazon has been working their deal with One Medical for quite a while. So as well as these non-traditional healthcare providers trying to really get into the healthcare space, private equity has also been extremely active. According to PitchBook, which is a firm that looks at healthcare data across the country, been doing it for many, many years, they had a recent article that said private equity notched the second highest year of healthcare deal making in 2022. Obviously, healthcare is a large investment area for a number of organizations, and really has the opportunity to reshape how we deliver healthcare. Joining us here today, two very knowledgeable individuals: Brian Greenberg, CEO and owner of Greenberg Advisors, many years of experience in working through different deals with healthcare providers over his 25 years. Also pleased to be joined by Zach Eisenberg. Zach is Managing Director at Greenberg Advisors. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. So Zach, maybe we can start with you. Obviously, there's a lot of investments that are occurring, private equity, very active in the healthcare space. Where are you seeing the big trends or the big hotspots of investment taking place?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Why don't I start by talking about, you know, some of the trends, or at least one of the trends we're seeing, and then maybe I'll defer to Brian, who can talk about specifically some areas of investment. So one of the biggest strategies that we're seeing across the board from private equity firms is what's colloquially known as buy and build. So that's basically employing add-ons as a way to bolster growth. So given the long sales cycle that are pervasive in healthcare and just the overall fragmented nature in the RCM and healthcare IT space, we're seeing PE firms come in and speed up the rate of consolidation amongst vendors. So these groups are completing multiple acquisitions, sometimes multiple acquisitions in a year, but certainly throughout the duration of their hold period. And actually, on the prior point, Dan, we worked with one private equity firm, Sheridan Capital, out of Chicago, to do 2 deals last year with one of their portfolio companies, and then another private equity firm based in Boston to do 4 transactions for one of their portfolio companies.
Wow, that's great. So were these portfolio companies across different sectors, analytics, revenue cycle management, or was it in a single sector?
It's a great question. So they were both in specific verticals. The first one was in the behavioral health, and they actually bought a revenue cycle firm and then an analytics firm, which honestly mirrors sort of the overall trends we're seeing across the investment landscape. Those are two very active areas, both being billing and analytics. And then the other was one singular market, which unfortunately, Dan, those deals haven't been announced yet, so I can't divulge too much. But they were in the billing sector as well.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look across the industry and where some of the big needs are, where some of the big investments are. Revenue cycle management clearly seems like there's a lot of activity. Analytics is another one. It's no secret that in hospitals and healthcare in general, the ability to share data, to create interoperability, that is a big challenge in healthcare and has been a big challenge for many, many years. And I see that investment in the analytics and the technology space by private equity or by other firms being one way to really solve that problem. Brian, how are you seeing it, or what some of the conversations that you're having with some of these large firms?
Yeah, so I think you're exactly right, Dan. I mean, there is a lot of focus in the analytics space for the reasons you've mentioned. And whether that's clinical analytics or financial analytics, it's all part and parcel to that focus on better understanding the care that's being provided, the data that's associated with it, and then translating that to either better care, hopefully, or ideally also just more efficient care, which is something, you know, I think we'll probably get into at some point today around hospitals, labor shortages and their need for cash and things like that.
Right. Right. You know, we've done, through, you know, a lot of our advisory and consulting support over the years, we've done a lot of turnarounds in the revenue cycle management space. We've gone into hospitals and into medical groups, and we've improved their performance. And a lot of the work that we've done is not only creating more efficient workflows, but we've also introduced technologies that have made things much more efficient. And frankly, that creates a strong ROI. When you look in the RCM space, and you look at firms that are creating these large investments, what's the return look like? Is it all around creating this advanced technology to create efficiencies? At least on the surface, that seems to me where it would be. Or is it in other spaces, maybe where you're working on trying to maximize reimbursement from the payers?
As you know, I mean, it all depends upon the thesis that the investor enters with, right? Some of them have this sort of payer focused thesis, other have more of a tech driven ROI thesis. Others may have a plan to take what might have traditionally been a more service or human labor focused offering and to automate it and to generate returns from that. Really, you know, and of course, that always comes down to who's looking, who the investors are, what their experiences are, and where they think the market's going, right?
So right.
It really just depends on who's investing.
Well, and I think a few years ago, it seemed to me it was all about the technology. Revenue cycle in particular was extremely manual. So what we've seen is that there was a lot of investment in new technologies to create efficiencies. These days, I think the driver is a little different. Although the technology is important, I think the challenges that we're seeing in the staffing shortages, workflow or workforce issues and so forth, at least to me, maybe creating a different, say, impetus for the investments, right? Because folks can't maybe hire, they want to do more with less. Obviously costs and managing costs are important. Staffing is obviously a big driver of cost. At least on the surface, that seems to me a big contributor to the investment and certainly to the returns that are expected. Does that come into play when you have some of these firms really thinking about what the ROI is or what they're looking to gain out of the any type of a deal?
Absolutely. Technology in any form, including AI driven technology, it's become critical to the hospitals because they have those same labor shortages that we all read about in papers every day in all markets, in and outside of healthcare. So they're struggling to do what they need to do, which is care for patients. They obviously they have back office and business office operations, and those are the parts of the hospital, the revenue cycle elements of the hospital operations that our clients interact with, right? And that's where our clients can help them by automating certain functions and minimizing or reducing the need for certain elements of human labor to make sure they get reimbursements.
Right. Why don't we edit? Well, let's edit that. Why don't you ask it about the investments in the specialty groups? And then I can say, you know, from our vantage point, which isn't necessarily through looking at it in terms of investments in the specialty groups, but I can certainly speak to investments in the vendors that service those groups.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. So obviously there's a lot of investments that are going into, say, these analytic firms or the RCM firms and so forth. Are you seeing a lot of investment dollars flowing into, say, some of the specialty groups like orthopedics and some of the other provider areas?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dan, I can answer that through our lens and our vantage point, which would be companies that service those specialty provider groups. And, you know, one of the shifts we've been watching or trends we've been watching, excuse me, for years is the shift to outpatient settings. So ambulatory groups and the specialty groups underneath that umbrella, as well as ambulatory surgery centers, are getting a ton of investment and a ton of attention from private equity firms. But sort of maybe quasi tangentially related, another market that I would, you know, consider a specialty market is behavioral health. And that could span mental health, could span addiction or treatment centers, adolescent programs. And unfortunately, that's one specialty market that had seen a steady increase, which was really just, Dan, exacerbated by COVID. So we've seen a lot of investment dollars from private equity firms flow into that space, both at the treatment center provider and also at the vendors servicing them. I think I mentioned at the earlier, but we were involved in two deals in that space last year. We advised a private equity firm in two acquisitions within the behavioral health market.
If you're just tuning in, I am Daniel Marino. You're listening to Value-Based Care Insights. I'm here today with Brian Greenberg and Zach Eisenberg of Greenberg Advisors. We're discussing the impact of private equity in healthcare. So, you know, as you were mentioning, Zach, I investments in behavioral health, clearly it's a need, no doubt about that. Are you seeing that investments occurring in the traditional healthcare provider space? Or are these new firms coming in, new organizations coming in, creating these, like, let's say, larger network of behavioral health services that can be offered to the public? Where are some of these dollars flowing into?
All across the board, honestly, Dan. We've seen a lot of money flow into the treatment centers themselves. And, right. You know, we're having conversations with a lot of private equity firms who have recently either gotten into the space or looking to get into the space. But also, you know, and that in itself will breed add-on activity and treatment centers will merge and become larger, which will exacerbate the need for potentially larger vendors to service them.
Right.
And yeah. We've seen larger RCM vendors emerge to respond to that need.
To a certain extent, I'm happy to hear that. And as you mentioned, since COVID, the needs in behavioral health in the provider space has really grown exponentially. And clearly there's not enough providers that are out there and the services and so forth. So to a certain extent, I'm happy to hear that that investment is incurring with the idea that we're going to create more, maybe a larger provider community. But then from a business standpoint, the reimbursement typically in behavioral health hasn't been that great. And I know there's a lot of work. We've done a lot of work on helping on behalf of providers to negotiate better contracts and rates to get higher reimbursement for behavioral health services. Are you seeing the investments that are occurring with private equity and these larger firms? Are they influencing additional revenue opportunities coming from this? Or is it really about more creating, let's say, more providers, creating efficiencies, reducing costs? Where's the value driver through this?
No, absolutely. I think that, and it's not specific to just behavioral health providers, but healthcare providers overall are tasked with a lot of things to do other than delivering healthcare, which is what they're supposed to be good at, and it should be their primary objective. So right. I think there are reimbursement challenges across the board, which is certainly not specific to behavioral health or any specialty in general. But yes, one of the things we are seeing is that outsourcing these tasks, which are non-core to healthcare providers, be it in behavioral health or elsewhere, does increase reimbursement. And then, one of the deals we worked on last year was an analytics company in behavioral health, and they offered financial analytics. So giving these treatment centers the opportunity to understand their financials and see where their revenue is coming from and see, their aged receivables and so forth, just increases, I think, how these treatment centers are run and more broadly speaking, how the healthcare providers are run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think if you can really create that, investment, strong capabilities that can be offered to behavioral health services, well, you just, you totally upscale the whole business performance. And typically behavioral health providers, they've been challenged with that. There's no doubt about that. One question though that I did have, and I want to switch topics a little bit here. We've had the opportunity over the years, and in particular, I have in doing a lot of strategy work with different hospitals and health systems to help some of these larger health systems and hospitals create these health venture companies, so to speak. And in some cases, it's been a way for some of these health systems, larger health systems, to start invest in, say, some new angel companies or to be able to use some investment dollars to create some level of returns, maybe to invest in some new capabilities at the ground floor, that sort of thing. Are you working with many of these health venture companies? Has this been an avenue that private equity has been interested in being able to invest in to create an avenue of greater opportunity?
They are included in our relationships, right? So our goal as a firm and as a specialist in rev cycle and healthcare IT transactions is to make sure we know as many of the potential investors as possible, both from the standpoint of, their potential acquisition interests or their potential exit interests, since
right.
We do buy and sell side. So, So seeing these sort of sidecar investment arms of Ascension and Providence and some of the other large health systems out there has been it's been pretty cool to watch, really.
Yeah.
We learn of a new one all the time, right? And so, I think there's a lot of value in those firms in terms of how they're organized and their ability to create solutions that are tested before they hit the market. Right within their own system and with their own physicians and professionals. So, yeah, we like that end of the market a lot. And yes, we're familiar with
yeah, that. that's That's good to hear. I really do think for the right organization, there's a lot of value add here. And I agree with you. I had the opportunity to be an advisor in both Ascension Health Ventures a number of years back. And then when we had done work with, when I was working with GE Healthcare, I was an advisor on their GE Healthcare Health Ventures arm as well. And the fascinating part about that was the new technologies that would come in, and you would see kind of how the, you know, the business approach would occur, the launch would occur, the needs that they were trying to solve, and of course the investments, right? And you're structuring this on what the future opportunities would be. I found that fascinating. And, you know, again, all of them that come through, you know, I don't know, maybe you get 10 or 15 or 20% that actually, you know, you hit the home run, and the other ones, you know, maybe you hit a single if you're lucky, but it's fascinating to watch. And I can't help but think that if more healthcare organizations, healthcare providers had that type of a structure in place, it could provide some nice opportunities for them to get in the ground floor on some of these services and maybe solve an immediate problem.
Yeah. Nobody knows it better than they do, right? I mean, they're in it every day. They see it from every side, every single day. And I completely agree. I'm, over the past couple of years, as we've seen more and more of those enter the market, I'm just really excited about what that could become.
Yeah.
You know, because we get caught up in the investment side of it and the M&A side of it, because that's what we do every day. But we don't lose sight of the human side of it and, you know, what those solutions can do. It's great.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Brian, over the last, say, 6 months or so, maybe a little longer than that, there's been a lot of economic pressures that we've all been facing, right? Inflation has gone up. The Federal Reserve has increased interest rates. Have some of these economic challenges, do you feel like they're affecting some of the investments and some of the deals that are being, that potentially will occur in 2023? Or from your perspective, do you think that the trends that we saw in 2022 are going to continue regardless of some of the economic constraints that we're under?
Well, I think there are a couple of different elements to that. To that topic, so deal volume has decreased in the broader market. We've been fortunate in terms of our firm's focus and our clients, and our client engagements, in that most of the deals we work on are considered to be in the lower middle market. And certainly, you know, the cost of capital has an impact on a lot of deals, but we think that the lower middle market is a little more insulated than some of the larger deals, right? We're not doing billion-dollar deals over here, right? Most of our transactions are sort of up to about $150 million on the high end. So, the ability for a buyer to either fund a transaction with equity and no debt capital, or just simply to put more equity in and minimize the amount of debt capital, it's real. And so we've seen that in transactions we've done. And so it really hasn't impacted the number of transactions we've been able to close for our clients, fortunately. And, in terms of this year and how things play out, it's, who knows, right? I mean, right. I think it would be a little overly optimistic to say that the market won't be impacted, but so far so good, and we're just plugging away for
Well, and again, I go back to the challenges that we see in healthcare, the needs that need to be overcome, and a lot of times, if you can structure it the right way, there's a lot of opportunity, financial opportunity, returns, and so forth. So, I think there could potentially be some challenges, but for the most part, I think the opportunities for the right firm or providers or what have you to invest in certain areas, I think it still looks pretty good. Well, gentlemen, thank you. This has been wonderful. I really enjoy the discussion. I think it's fascinating to see where some of the investment dollars are coming. You know, if any of our listeners are interested in learning more, or maybe want to hear some, you know, some advice, how can they get a hold of you, or any thoughts?
Yeah, sure, Dan. And thank you for the time today. Seriously, we're humbled and flattered that you'd have us here. But for any listeners, they're certainly welcome to reach out to Brian or I directly, or visit our website, greenberg-advisors.com. And then we also publish a biannual report that speaks to the trends and themes of RCM and healthcare IT investing. So our next one should be out in the next week or so, and that covers all the RCM and healthcare IT M&A data from this past year.
Oh, that's great. And where can they find that? Is that on your website?
It is also on our website.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks again. I think this is a fascinating discussion. I really enjoyed it. Appreciate both of your times, and good luck to you guys as you're starting to work through 2023 and even beyond.
Appreciate it, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in today to Value-Based Care Insights. Until the next insight, I am Daniel Marino, bringing you 30 minutes of value to your day. Take care.
Are you at a crossroad with value-based care? Do you need to chart a future strategy or improve your organization's performance? Visit us at luminahp.com to learn more about our professional advisory services and leadership development programs. Also, you can sign up for our newsletter on our website and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. To connect with Daniel Marino, or for more information about the show, visit our website or healthcarenowradio.com. Join this conversation using our hashtag BBC Insights. We are Lumina Health Partners. Thank you for joining us today. Until the next Value-Based Care Insight, stay well.